KR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Monday, August 15th, 2016. We are so honored that you allow Current Sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon yet again. On today's show, we will have a ton of talk as we try to recap what took place this past weekend out in Rio de Janeiro at the Olympic Games in Brazil. Yeah, folks, a ton to talk about as yesterday, the world's fastest man in Usain Bolt proved that, yeah, he's missed not a step since 4 years ago out in London, all right? So we'll talk about Bolt. Also, Simone Biles continues to rack up the gold medal hardware. So we'll recap. We'll have an Olympic update for you in the blink of an eye. Also, the Michigan State football team held its first scrimmage this past weekend. We'll tell you what took place, and you guys all know when it comes to these scrimmages, they are closed off from all media. It's in-house. There's no stats that are really thrown out. You just know who came out with the dub, the defense or offense, and it's pretty black and white, all right? So we'll talk about the scrimmage, and also Coach Mark D'Antonio, he addressed the media this morning before practice and had some interesting things to say when it comes to the depth chart. So I have an update on that. Also, we will invite dear friend of the show, Jesse Goldberg Strassler, play-by-play voice of the Lansing Lugnuts. He will join me in studio at 1:30 p.m. You do not want to miss that. He will give us an update on the Lansing Lugnuts as really the season ending is coming very quick. Very quick right now. It's August, the middle of August, and we will be talking playoffs for the Lansing Lugnuts. So you do not want to miss that. And on the back end of the show, we'll have some chatter about the Detroit Lions as they played their very first exhibition game on Friday against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and we, of course, will have weekend winners. But first, let's go to our intro for today's show. And, folks, these two athletes have become household names, the later athlete, for quite some time now. But, hey, if you missed any of the weekend action out in Rio, we got you back. Let's start the show.
Simone Biles of the United States looking for her third gold medal in Rio.
All Simone needs to do is the same thing she does every single day on this vault. There is no one in the world that can do it as well as her. She puts on her feet. It's going to be a huge score.
2.5 team twist. Yurchenko. It was her last shot, John, to get that stuck landing we were hoping. We've seen so many times from her. She's gotten the 9.9 in her execution score.
Usain's done it. Gatlin challenged for the silver medal. 9.80 all the way from Beijing to London and now to Rio. It is one of the greatest athletic achievements of all time, if not the very greatest. What a moment. He wasn't great out of the blocks. Gatlin beat him out clearly. Usain had to work. In the end, it was comfortable. You have just seen a moment, the likes of which none of us is ever likely to see again in this lifetime or any lifetime for that matter.
Yes, two names that are household names due to the Olympic Games. Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and we've got plenty of Olympic talk to start today's show. Hey, if you want to be a part of today's show, you know that number 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports, or even tweet us at my Twitter page of Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. But how good is Simone Biles and Usain Bolt? I mean, my jaw just was on the ground watching both Biles and Bolt yesterday as Usain Bolt won the men's 100 meters for the third straight Olympics. That's crazy. Crazy stuff, right? The fastest 10 seconds in sports, the most thrilling 10 seconds in all of sports, as Bolt was able to edge out Justin Gatlin. You know, it was interesting watching that race last night, though, because, of course, the storyline behind the history concerning Usain Bolt and Justin Gatlin is pretty intriguing. It's like a villain versus hero scenario. At least that's how the media tried to play it up yesterday. Because, of course, Justin Gatlin has had his fair share of criticism due to, of course, being banned 4 years from competition on the track and field due to a doping suspension. Usain Bolt has done it the clean way and is just a freak of nature, just a naturally gifted athlete who I don't want to take anything away from him when it comes to just his work ethic, because he's such a hard worker and he's always trying to break his own records that he's already set in the last two Olympics leading up to this one. But, you know, Usain Bolt is just naturally gifted, though. I mean, he's 6'5". He's got strides like a gazelle. And he has, like, you know, gears that not many people on this earth can reach when it comes to running. And it's remarkable watching him do what he does. But he's done it the clean way. And I always say, once a cheater, always a cheater. And I was sitting back watching that race with my family. I was in Detroit this past weekend for a wedding. My frat brother got married, and that was a fantastic wedding. So I was in town, and on Sunday, of course, that's when the race took place yesterday, the 100-meter race. And I was sitting there watching that race with my grandmother, my Uncle Ray, and my dad. And we're sitting there watching it, and of course, they really played it up. I really thought it was very cool how they showed the introductions, at least, of each competitor as they walked out, and you could hear the crowd either chanting or booing. Really, the only boos that I heard were for Justin Gatlin. Again, he was the villain in this race, all right? A guy who has been found to be a cheater within the sport. He doesn't have many fans out there. So when Justin's name was called, he walked out, and you could immediately hear boos from the crowd, and quite the contrary reaction. As Usain Bolt was introduced, I mean, cheers galore, including Bolt's own very name, Usain Bolt. I mean, you could hear that chant, Bolt's name being chanted throughout the entire Olympic Stadium. Pretty interesting, and you saw each man address the crowd, and then they lined up and got on the blocks, and the gun goes off, and you see Justin Gatlin get a great start off the blocks. He had the lead for about, I want to say about two-thirds of the way, to be honest with you. But then all of a sudden, Usain Bolt just settles in, marks his steps, takes his time, and pours it out. I mean, it was absolutely remarkable to watch. And then you see Bolt just go around the stadium pointing at people. He did his signature pose. He had a random Rio 2016 stuffed animal in his hand as he went around pointing to the crowd, you know, waving around the Jamaican flag and taking pictures with the fans. It was very, very cool stuff. So that had to be the highlight of the weekend for me. But there were also some great events. Real quick, let's go to a quick Olympic update because, Bolt is the big story coming out of the weekend with that 100-meter win. I mean, he's a freak of nature. But there was a lot of action that took place over the weekend that is certainly noteworthy. So really briefly, before I continue my rant, because I want to pose an interesting question to you all, let's go with an Olympic update right now. Folks, how about the Lynx? Let's talk golf here. Golf, of course, tasted its fair share of criticism after many top-flight names passed on the Olympics, citing apparently unfounded Zika concerns. And it was interesting because one announcer found time to even take a slight jab at those golfers. But regardless of who played, golf's return to the Olympics, the first time since 1904, was pretty exciting, I must say. And I got a chance to check out a lot of golf, actually, on both Saturday and Sunday. Now, how about Matt Kuchar? He made it interesting with a final round of 63 to ultimately earn bronze. But in the end, it was Great Britain's own Justin Rose who took gold while Sweden's Henrik Stenson finished in second place. So Justin Rose took gold in golf's first return to the Olympics since the early 1900s. How cool is that, right? Simone Biles, as you just heard in our intro, Biles took her third gold of the Olympics, and not really a shocker, not even really close. She is the greatest gymnast of all time. She has an opportunity to add two more gold medals to her already stout Rio resume. But Biles' Olympics really stands in stark contrast to that of Gabby Douglas, who only 4 years ago won the all-around, if you remember, in London. And Gabby has been criticized left and right. I'll get to that later on. But Biles took home gold on the vault yesterday, where she actually earned bronze at last year's World Championships and then made it her mission to improve. And it's pretty safe to say that she did that big time. All right. Also, Madison Cochin on the uneven bars, she came out with the silver medal. And Gabby Douglas, her real Olympic career is now finito. Heck, her Olympic career is probably now finito. But Gabby Douglas, man, that was tough to swallow for her as she finished seventh in the uneven bars yesterday. Also, the United States men's basketball team. What is going on with Carmelo Anthony, Kevin Durant, and company? The U.S. men's team hoops survived yet again, beating France just by 3 points, folks, 100-97. Prior to beating France, they struggled against Serbia. Prior to that, they struggled to beat Australia. It has been just a rough, weird road for this team. So they beat France 100-97 to snag the top seed in Group A heading into the quarterfinals. We'll have more on that in just a second. Andy Murray made Olympic history with his second consecutive gold medal in tennis. He beat Juan Martin Del Potro, who admitted, quote, "I got a silver medal, which means gold for me. When I saw the draw, my first match would be Djokovic. I said, okay, it's going to be a short tournament." A short tournament it was not, okay? So there you have that. And I also mentioned, Usain Bolt taking the gold in the 100-meter competition. So those were some of the big storylines coming out of the weekend. And I would be remiss if I did not mention this. We have talked time and time again about how out in Rio right now, it's just not a good situation, okay? And I don't care how much the International Olympic Committee tries to ignore the pitfalls that the city of Rio has, it came to a face-to-face head this past weekend. I don't know if you guys saw this story. I'm pretty sure many of you did. But American swimmer Ryan Lochte and three others were actually held up at gunpoint while trying to return to Olympic Village after they went out for the night. Their wallets were taken by men posing as police officers. And Lochte actually had an interview, I forget with who, but it was with NBC, one of the reps out there covering the Olympics. And Lochte talked about the chilling moment where they were in the car, and then you see these individuals who were posing as police officers with badges. They came to the car, made each and every one of them get out the car, and they had a gun, and they told all of them to get on the ground. So three of the swimmers got on the ground, but Lochte said, he's like, no, we didn't do anything. I'm not getting on the ground. And then all of a sudden, one of the individuals, one of the men posing as a law enforcement official, took out his gun, cocked it, and put it directly to the forehead of Ryan Lochte, saying, get on the floor. Well, at that point, that's when he said, okay, whatever. He got on the floor, and they took Lochte's wallet and some money. You know, they didn't take any gold medals or anything like that, but they took Lochte's wallet, had some money in it, I guess, and that's what happened. And initially, it's crazy, though, because when that story came out, you had this, because I actually tweeted it out when I saw it on ESPN yesterday, and in that article, it talked about how the IOC, at first, they didn't believe it, you know, and there were many people trying to confirm whether or not it happened, almost like the IOC was like, oh, my goodness, this is going to be a firestorm. Are we sure this happened? We don't think it happened. Let's not put it out there right now. We're disputing that situation, which is ridiculous in itself, but that's what happened. And then, of course, it was confirmed. You had Lochte coming on camera and telling in detail about the moment, but goodness. I mean, so you have a situation like that, and there have been others, you know, coaches and players alike that have been robbed out in Rio since the games have begun. There's a lot of political unrest as I've always noted. You have water pollution that's taking place out there, and I believe one Olympian actually got sick because his head went underwater for a bit, and he came up, and next thing you know, he's not feeling well, and he ends up having an infection. So it just blows my mind how ignorant the IOC can be at times. It's really ridiculous. Then you had the president, whose name eludes me right now, but he sat down with Bob Costas over the weekend, and Bob is like, hey, I mean, with a situation like this going on, do you guys think that Rio was really the right decision this year? And he's like, yeah, well, with the exception of a few unfortunate incidents, we think that Rio has been a great host for these games. Yeah, I'm not buying that. Not buying that whatsoever. So going back, I want to go back briefly here to talk about Usain Bolt again. He is just ridiculous when it comes to the world of track and field. And it's amazing to me how he's been able to do this, you know, every 4 years, dating back to Beijing, China. You know, and that's when his superstardom really started, out in China. And then four years after that, he goes to the London Olympics and handles business. And then 4 years after that, hey, he's here in Rio doing his thing. Absolutely remarkable. And he makes it look so easy. That's the thing that really gets me about Usain Bolt. When he's out there, I mean, it's like he's jogging. It looks like, when you watch that race in real time, it looked like, you know, especially when Usain decided to kick it in second gear, it looked like he was like smiling. There's one picture that's on social media. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but one photographer has a great shot of Usain Bolt. It looks like he's looking right at the camera, actually, at the photographer who's taking this picture. And he's smiling while everyone in back of him, they have like complete depression on their face. You know, complete just drainage on their face from trying to beat and catch up with the lightning bolt that is Usain. I mean, it's nuts. He makes it look so easy, and he's so charismatic. You know, after he wins, he's got a smile on his face, and he's interacting with the fans. And it's unbelievable because, you know, when you hear his interviews, it's like he's just sitting back and chatting with you, you know, on the sofa. You know, just no exhaustion at all. He's just taking everything in stride. You know, he's just so charismatic and so easygoing. And he makes it look so easy when it clearly is not. To compete on that stage year after year after year. But I tell you what, folks, I must be honest with you. You know, I keep it real with you. It's been very hard for me, especially, I think it really came to a head for me yesterday when I was sitting there, you know, with my grandmother, with my uncle, and with my dad, as, you know, when they went through the introductions for each individual, and when they got to Justin Gatlin, and they started to boo him, and first off, my grandmother, and it's about all of my family, they don't know really anything about these athletes. They know the big names, right? Justin Gatlin is a big name, but they didn't really know who he was. And I'm sitting there saying to myself, my grandma's like, oh, why are they booing him? That was a horrible impression of my grandma, by the way. But why are they booing him, baby? And when she heard the boos, I'm like, Grandma, Justin Gatlin has had a storied history of being a cheater. Actually, the man was suspended 4 years due to doping. And it's so funny. You know, bless my grandma. So she said, doping? Is he high right now? That's exactly what she said. I'm like, no, Grandma, not that type of doping, okay? She said, is he high? Is he on something right now? I'm like, no, Grandma. As far as steroids go, performance-enhancing drugs, he's been found to have violated the policy, okay? And ideally, that's cheating. It is cheating at the end of the day. And she was like, oh, okay. And all of a sudden, my grandmother loves rooting for the villain or the underdog, so she immediately became a fan of his. I don't know why, but she started rooting for him. Where she's like, all right, well, I hope he's turned things around, and I hope he wins a gold for the U.S. And obviously, that didn't happen. And she got excited midway through the race after seeing Justin Gatlin, you know, have that lead two-thirds of the way, and then all of a sudden, it went out the window, and she slouched back in the couch, and that was it. But I found it very hard for me to not have thoughts of cynicism when watching this year's Olympics, folks. And I feel like I'm having those thoughts every single year. And what I mean by that is, you know, and I want to know if you've had these thoughts as well, but I find it hard for cynicism not to creep in, for skepticism not to cloud my mind when watching these games, because we've seen so many names within the sport, in the world, I should say, of Olympics, in the world of Olympians, get caught for doping. You know, I bring up Justin Gatlin, and also I go to Marion Jones. I remember I was a huge Marion Jones fan when she was just tearing it up in the Olympic Games. And she was everywhere. She was on Wheaties boxes. She was doing commercials. I mean, she became a household name. Then what happens? Later on, you know, it come to find out that she was doping as well. And I watched Justin Gatlin out there, and I'm sitting there saying to myself, I wonder if he's still on something. Hey, the thought could, you know, I'm not saying that he still is, because, hey, you know, Gatlin has been tested repeatedly for 6 years, and they found nothing. All right? But I find it very hard for that thought not to enter my brain. And I'm not saying that Usain Bolt is on something. I'm not saying that Simone Biles is on something, but I just find it hard to try and package away that thought based on what we've seen in Olympic past. Heck, I have to be honest with you, when watching other athletes, how about the pool, for example? I mean, Michael Phelps, just absolutely unbelievable. 23 gold medals, and he'll retire now. That's the last we'll see of Phelps, the most decorated Olympian ever. And his journey the last 4 years has been so remarkable because, I mean, this was a guy who, you know, when watching his story, he also had to sit down with Bob Costas, and Bob did this huge feature on Phelps. And, you know, Phelps had the DUI, and, you know, he talked about how he was going through so much depression, and he couldn't put alcohol down, and how there was like a six-month period where he did not even enter a gym. Didn't think about it. He was eating so unhealthy. And now he gets back to he got his body back in shape. He went to rehab, and that was a turning point, and boom. It's like he's never lost a beat from 4 years ago, right? And how about Katie Ledecky? I mean, Katie Ledecky is just making it look just easy out there. It's so hard for me, though, to not sit back and think that, are they on something? It's just I'm not saying that they are. I'm just saying that the thought has crossed my mind so many times when watching these just remarkable Olympic performances. And, hey, it's been found that, no, Ledecky's not on anything. Phelps is not on anything. For what we know, they've all done it the clean way. Usain Bolt, the clean way. Simone Biles, the clean way. All right? But it just amazes me how those who embark on that dark path make it so hard for everyone else to not entertain that thought. When it perception-wise, they make it really hard for the general public, perception-wise, to not entertain that thought based on what we've seen in the past. So I'm curious. I mean, has it crossed your mind? And I really think, I mean, I'm going to ask, because I always love going off the beaten path when it comes to Jesse Goldberg's roster, because he's such a great sports mind, not just baseball mind. But I also want to know where he would put Michael Phelps as far as the greatest athletes of all time go. And I want to get his thoughts on whether or not that the thought of cynicism has ever crossed his mind when watching these remarkable Olympic performances this year. Before we hit our first break, I want to invite right now the man behind the glass. And folks, we are both struggling right now. No, I don't know if you can hear it in my voice, but I'm still trying to get over this cold. I've been coughing. Thank goodness for the cough button. It's funny because on Facebook Live, you can hear my coughing and everything, all right, because you're watching it live. But through the airwaves, we have a mute button over here, Isaac. And if I happen to take like a 3-second pause, it's because I'm coughing on the other end, all right? But I'm trying to get over this, and you've been battling it for a while as well, Isaac, and there's nothing worse than a summer cold. But we're getting through this thing, all right? So Isaac is a bit under the weather as well as myself. But Isaac, I want to know, has that thought ever crossed your mind when watching what we've seen in the last, 2 weeks here?
I have to say, what really made me think about it, and yeah, you're exactly right. I also dubbed this summer 16. S-I-C-K-S-T-E-E-N,
yeah,
summer
man.
16. But yeah. Anyway, talking about sick, these Olympics, they definitely do make you sick sometimes watching the competition, and especially of the Russian national team. That is when it crosses my mind. It's not the whole Lily King situation. It's not. I voiced my opinion on that about Thursday, and I was saying, Lily King, yeah, the girl had cheated in the past that she beat, but at the same time, you can go out as a classy winner without too much work. What hits me about the Russian national team is that the newest studies and revelations about this team, the report that was initially done by the Canadian law professor, whose name I'm blanking, but that revealed cheating, state-sponsored doping for, probably something like the last 4 years, something like that. New York Times did an expose, and that revealed it for so much longer. And that's what makes me question. It's not these current results, because I know how extensive the testing must be. It's the fact that these guys have cheated in the past. They've been banned in the games, and now they're coming back. I also wonder about the lingering remaining effects of doping. I mean, doping gives you an advantage when you do it, but that muscle mass, that aerobic ability to be able to hold more air and get the advantage, the leg up on your competitors, I wonder if that sticks with you even after the suspension. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I haven't looked at far enough into it to really give a definitive answer on that claim. But at the same time, cheating once, it really might give you the advantage going forward and forward and forward. And that's the thing for this Russian team especially. If this is a state-sponsored doping system that has been in place and implemented for over 20 years or whatever it is, that sets the course for the future, and that influences right now.
Yeah, I don't know what the effects for those that have used it. You know, I'm sure it enhances your performance so quick that when you do get off of it, I don't know how much that stays with you over time. That's a really good question. Haven't really thought about that, but also there's a domino effect, because when you have athletes who are doing it the clean way, if they see so, and this goes to the conversation when it comes to those that have done it the clean way when it comes to baseball, all right, in the Baseball Hall of Fame, right? If you have an individual who's doing it the clean way and it's found out that someone else isn't, and they're ideally cheating the game, If I'm one of those players out there, and again, you're talking about money on the line here when you discuss the majors in baseball. If I'm looking down the line and I see this guy cheating and having success from it, and success leads directly to more dollar bills in his wallet, because that's what happens when you become a big-time player in the majors. Just to keep up, you know, you're sitting there probably pondering, okay, maybe I should go that route, because right now this dude is just clearly just leaving the field. I don't think a lot of people take into consideration the domino effect that it has on those who are trying to do it the clean way, therefore corrupting the game inside and out. You know what I mean?
Well, so, yeah, and that's the thing. The Olympics is bringing the best of the best together across the world.
Right.
Certain sports are so tainted by the system of doping that it's impossible to do that cleanly, or you're excluding the best. It's just that simple. You've got to choose one or the other, no matter how difficult that is.
It's like that old saying, if you're not cheating, you're not trying, right?
Exactly.
Especially if you know someone else is doing it. But, you know, I'm not trying to condemn anyone here. I'm not saying Usain Bolt is a cheater. I'm not saying Michael Phelps is owned something. I'm not saying Katie Ledecky is popping some pills right now, all right? All I'm saying is, knowing what we've seen in the past with big-time athletes, it makes it very hard for cynicism not to creep into my mind. That's all I'm saying. Because I found myself there watching that last night saying, man, is Gatlin still on something? Even though the dude has had, again, the last 6 years, clean drug tests. All right? So, again, the way it stacked up last night, Usain Bolt with a time of 9.81 seconds. Nuts. Justin Gatlin with the silver with 9.89. And then Andre DeGrasse from Canada had a time of 9.91. And Johan Blake, I thought Johan was at least going to medal in this one, but he came just in back of Andre with a time of 9.93. Blake is also from Jamaica. And I want to address this as well, because it has really rubbed me the wrong way throughout the Olympic Games thus far. But Gabby Douglas, who really stole the show back in 2012, as a part of the Fierce Five, of course, with Jordan Weaver and company as well. Allie Raisman was also a member of that team still. Gabby Douglas, she has a gold medal this year with the team all around, right? But in her individual competition yesterday, she competed in uneven bars, and she finished seventh. Madison Koshin, of also that stout Final Five team, she finished with a silver medal. And Douglas was very upset after it. And I was reading multiple articles online, Isaac, and there are many reporters who were near Douglas after she had lost. And there's one article out there that talks about how Gabby, you know, she had gotten dressed and she has her cell phone. And this goes back to the whole Tom Izzo ideology when it comes to social media, right? Cowards hiding behind keyboards. Well, there were a lot of people out there that were mentioning Gabby Douglas on Twitter. And they were not very kind. Let's just put it that way. And they have been, you know, Twitter and social media period has been chastising Gabby since the very start of these games out in Rio. Getting back to when the team won the team all-around gold medal. And they were on the podium. And the United States National Anthem plays. And everyone, there's a picture out there. And you could see it when it was happening live as well. Wasn't a big deal in my opinion, but as soon as people saw Gabby Douglas not place her hand on her heart to tribute her country, she sat there very respectfully, as many people do. I've sat there. I haven't always put my hand on my heart. I don't always put my hand on my heart when the national anthem is played. Didn't know it was a big deal. Twitter blew up on her. Like, they came at her head about this, Isaac. And then all of a sudden, it's the same conversation that happened back in 2012. There were many people out there, specifically African-American females, calling Gabby Douglas out for her hair, saying that her hair was not pressed, it was nappy. I saw so many hateful things online about this. I just couldn't believe that this conversation was coming back again. And also, you know, her demeanor on the sidelines with her team, many people felt like she was distant from her other teammates, and she was just kind of in the clouds while her teammates are there talking. She's kind of off in the corner somewhere, and people were chastising her, saying that, man, I mean, you would think she'd be happier than that, winning a team all-around gold medal. But she has been criticized so much. And there's a story from yesterday where one journalist talks about how she was there, she had gotten dressed, she's on her phone, and she's reading all of these hateful comments. And she immediately starts to tear up. She's alone at this point. She starts to tear up. She puts her phone back in her backpack. A couple minutes goes by. She decides to get back on her phone. She goes back to social media and starts reading things. And this time she couldn't help it. She immediately began to cry. And she was in the tunnel and she still has her phone in her hand. She starts weeping. And one of the individuals who were working the tournament there, they saw her crying and they brought a tissue over to her, and they place a hand on her back and give her a quick hug, and she's just losing it. And then the media they talk to her as well, and you know, I just want to read a quote from what Gabby had to say. She says, "Quote: I tried to stay off the internet because there's just so much negativity. Either it was about my hair or my hand not over my heart, or I looked depressed. It was hurtful. It was hurtful. It was. It's been kind of a lot to deal with." Douglas went on to note, quote, "I apologized if I offended anyone. I've always said it was an honor to represent the U.S. You always do for this country. And then, like people say, for yourself and other people." And she goes on to talk about how, you know, it's been really hard to just watch this backlash take place. But I feel for Gabby Douglas. And I know many of our listeners out there and those that have been watching the Olympics, when hearing a story like this and watching Gabby go through something like this, there are many people that have sympathy and many individuals out there that admire what Gabby has done throughout her Olympic career, especially a lot of young women, young girls out there who are aspiring and watching her on TV, aspiring to do what she has done in these last 4 years. And I just really hope that emotionally, this does not break Gabby. This only propels her forward. But it's been so upsetting to watch these cowards call her out on social media over really absolutely nothing.
Well, and here's a generalization I make, and it's the inglorious side of the Olympics, but you've got all the Patriots come out, all the rah-rah Americans come out, and there's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. I mean, of course, you should support your country, but we don't know that much about gymnastics or swimming, whatever it may be. You have to understand that for athletics sometimes, it's commonplace not to put your hand on your heart. And that's what started this whole firestorm in the first place.
Absolutely ridiculous. Again, you hear our phones in the background. If you want to call in and weigh in on anything out in Rio, please. We encourage it. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will chat with Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, of course, play-by-play voice of the Lansing Lugnuts. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Let's get to our guest for today's show. He is certainly a dear friend of the show. His name is the one and only Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, of course, play-by-play voice of the Lansing Lugnuts. Jesse, first off, how you doing, my man? Happy Monday.
Good afternoon, Al. Thank you for having me.
I want to ask you first, Jesse, before we talk about the Lugnuts and postseason implications for this team, how have you been enjoying the Rio Olympics so far? What's been your favorite moment?
It's funny because the lead up to it, I'm thinking, oh, okay, I'm not going to be into this. I'm not enjoying all the news coming out of Rio. And I turn on the television and there's indoor volleyball. And then the next day there's beach volleyball or there's rugby. And it doesn't matter. I'll watch archery. I'll watch them all. I am
really
so in. What? Usain Bolt last night, I turned on the TV right at the time that the race was about to start, and I was hooked, and I wanted to see every single replay. I love it. When you're able to say, this is the best person in the world at doing this, that is awesome.
It's amazing, isn't it? What's your favorite event to watch?
It's whatever I'm watching at that moment.
Wow, so you love them all equal.
It sounds silly, right? But I'll never watch water polo. I will sit down and I will watch water polo. I will watch handball.
Love it.
It doesn't matter.
Just a fan of sports. I love it, Jesse. All right, so I want to dive into the Lansing Lugnuts and, of course, postseason implications as the season winds down now. But first, I went to my email not too long ago and I saw a very cool initiative. The Lugnuts will be having a jersey auction that begins today. Is
it
that
is
right?
On right now.
Wow. How cool is that? How long? First off, Jesse, is this the first year this has been going on? How long has this been going on?
So every year, the Lugnuts alternate which jerseys they're auctioning off. So last year, they auctioned off the home jerseys. This year, it's going to be the road, online only. Mm-hmm. And then what happens is it's a silent auction. It's online. And then we take the top bids from this entire week. And then in the ballpark on Saturday, it gets all turned into this online silent auction in person at the ballpark. We're getting brand new home and road jerseys next year.
Really?
We're getting rid of everything.
Logo changing? Is the logo staying the same?
No, we're going to keep the logo. As far as I know, we're going to keep the name Lugnuts.
Nice.
We're going to keep the colors. But I love this idea. And I love coming out to the ballpark and looking down in the stands and saying, there's a Jake Marisnyk jersey, and now he's with the Astros. Or there's a Daniel Norris jersey, and now he's with the Detroit Tigers. Marcus Stroman pitched for us last year. You can get his jersey. Anthony Alford, or Richard Urania, Sean Reed Foley. We've got big-time Major League prospects coming up. You can bid on and get their jersey. And in years past, we've started the bidding at $120, and this year we're starting it at $90 because we want to get rid of all of these jerseys and start fresh.
That is very cool stuff. So new jerseys next year. You guys are with Nike. Any partnership with Jumpman at all?
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Right, wouldn't it? Wouldn't
go
it, right?
Moneyball out here.
Exactly. But you guys, I see you got on a Nike Lansing Lugnut shirt. Is that who you guys are partnered with?
I am the wrong person to ask.
They
stock, and I say, okay, I'm going to wear that. So I don't know what our jersey is. I don't know what spikes the guys wear.
But it's still very cool. I mean, so they start at $90. If people are out there listening and want to bid and possibly have a chance at winning one of those jerseys, where do they go to?
Go to LansingLugnuts.com. It is right there. You click the link, you place your bid.
How much money are you guys shooting to raise?
You know what? All proceeds go to the Capital Area United Way. So whatever we can raise for them, I think it's all for the best.
That is fantastic stuff. Log on right now, folks, or after you listen to Current Sports, of course. All right, now the Lansing Lugnuts, of course, wrapped up a season series with a win against West Michigan yesterday, winning 3-4 against the intrastate rival. Jesse, where do the Lugnuts sit as far as postseason implications are concerned?
They're sitting pretty. They're in the catbird seat right now. About a week ago, they had their lead for the second and final playoff spot cut down to half a game. And then they swept the Fort Wayne Tin Caps in four in a row. They went out and took on West Michigan, which made the playoffs in the first half. Tigers team. We got to see the Tigers' first-round draft pick from last year, Bo Burrows. And they went out and won 3 out of 4, and now they've got a 4.5-game lead for the playoffs. The big thing is you don't want to get swept. And now you've got the Great Lakes Loons coming in starting tonight for a 4-game series. They're 4.5 games back. You lose all four, it's down to a half. So they need to win some or maybe most of these games. But they're sitting good right now.
So this is crunch time, and this is the first of a 7-game homestand,
yes,
right? So after they play 4, they will play 3 more at home as well.
Exactly.
What's been the biggest surprise for you when it comes to this team so far this season? And also, what's been the biggest challenge for this Lugnuts team this year?
Well, the Lugnuts team this year has been challenged by a lack of hitting. Right since the very start of the year, I asked the guys coming out of spring training, what can we do? And they said, we can pitch. We don't know if we're going to score runs. That's been the tough thing. So Lane Thomas, 20 years of age, starts off June, hits 5 homers in his first 8 June games. Then he gets hit by an inside fastball as Lake County is trying to back him away, breaks his forearm. And so he goes off to the DL for a couple of months. We get Max Pentecost, the first-round draft pick a couple of years ago. He's sensational. He's sliding into home, pops out his left shoulder. Max is going to be okay, but we're moving him up. And we just got Lane back from the DL. So now we're much healthier than we've been before. Lane Thomas is hitting again. But the pitching, Al. what surprised me is the Blue Jays traded away tons of guys last year for Troy Tulowitzki, for David Price, for Mark Lowe, for Ben Revere. And yet coming into this year, I thought that the prospects might have been down. I can count 6, 7 different major league guys, future major leaguers who've pitched for us this season, and maybe more. That's how good our pitching talent is.
Absolutely remarkable. How do you think John Schneider has done in his first year as manager for this team in managing all of this stout talent, especially on the mound?
Awesome. It is a tough thing to walk that tightrope of being a player's manager at the same time that you're tough. They're going through this slide, and their lead is cut down to a half game, and he emptied out the clubhouse of all of the couches. Couches were all put in the hallway. The ping pong table, outside. And John said, you earned that. They won a game, they looked at him, he said, not yet. They won a second game, he said, one couch. And so now they've earned back 2 couches. There's still one couch still outside. When you've got a guy that they love like that, that they respect, but also that motivates them, that they know that they are playing for him and for the name on their jersey, and I mean the front of their jersey, that is a great manager.
I absolutely love that. I had no idea about this story. So Jesse, it brings up an interesting dynamic here when discussing wins and losses in the minors. When it comes to wins and losses, because I've talked to different managers, and I've talked to Snyder about this as well, there's an emphasis placed, maybe even above winning, when it comes to making sure these guys develop into major league players. Do you think that's placed over winning, or does that naturally just come, you know, does player development come with striving out there and trying to get dubs?
It makes me laugh, because if you ask John at 1 o'clock, or you ask him, you know, you get a media scrum together and you say, John, how important is it to win? And he'll say, no, we want to develop major leaguers. Ask him after a loss. They hate losing. The players hate losing. The coaching staff hates losing. Those catches weren't out in the hallway because the players weren't developing.
Right.
There were guys who were getting base hits. There were guys who were striking people out. Pitchers are coming along. Hitters are coming along. They weren't winning. Mm-hmm. And suddenly you get to see they don't like to lose. And a team that doesn't like to lose is a team that's going to win.
Folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with the play-by-play voice of the Lansing Lugnuts, Jesse Goldberg-Strassler. So, Jesse, kind of put the backing of the season now in perspective for us. How many more weeks are we looking at, and when does the postseason begin?
So the Lansing Lugnuts right now have a record of 26-23, 49 games down. That means 21 games to go on the regular season. So they start up this 7-game homestand tonight, then they go on the road, come back on the road. Season's over early September. That Tuesday, September the 6th, Crosstown Showdown presented by Auto Owners. The Lugnuts and the Michigan State Spartans, 2,000 caps to be given away. 5:30 p.m. pregame home run derby between the Spartans and the Lugnuts. $2 drinks as well that night. And then that Wednesday, if they make it in, game one of the playoffs, and likely against the Bowling Green Hot Rods, who've been their arch rival, who the benches might have emptied a little bit earlier this year.
I saw that, yeah.
So that would be the best 2 out of 3 first round as quick as Wednesday, September the 7th.
Wow. Jesse, do you find it hard to, or a challenge, I should say, to sort of let people know that, hey, MSU football may be about to start on September 2nd, but hey, don't forget about us because this is when things really start to get interesting with our ball club. Is it hard to get the word out about that because people are so entranced with college football starting?
Well, and not only that, you're going from school year to school year. We start things up as the baseball team is winding down and Michigan State's going through. Now we're at an entirely different school year. Those sophomores who are on the Spartans baseball team last year, they're juniors now. There are new students who are on campus. We're trying to get out the word to the freshmen who might not be from Lansing, might not be from East Lansing, might be coming in from elsewhere in the state or beyond, saying, hey, come 8 minutes down the road, cheer on the green and white, see the red and black, and see downtown.
Right.
Just get a chance to connect Lansing and East Lansing when you just let people know, here's what's going on. Experience this. Experience it for the first time. That's it. Because you're right. Look, you know I'm a huge football fan.
Oh, yeah, of course.
But the fun thing about football is you can look forward to that one game each week. We can say the rest of the week, you can care about us.
I love that. Jesse, again, as you just mentioned, a 7-game homestand now. You guys will put Perdomo, I believe, on the mound against the Great Lakes Loons to start. How important is it to take care of home this time of year. Because as you mentioned, if the Lugnuts lose four straight here, it could get very, very tight when it comes to the divisional race.
Just like the rest of life, get things done as soon as possible. Because if you wait, it gets awful stressful, and you don't want to have to rely on other people. You handle things yourself. You
right.
take care of your own business. I know Perdomo's 6'7", throws hard, pitched in the MLB Futures game at the All-Star break representing the Blue Jays, Midwest League All-Star. 6 shutout innings his last start, exactly the guy that we want on the mound.
You can say that again, I tell you that. And also, from an atmosphere perspective, Jesse, again, you've been able to see now, throughout the course of this summer, the buzz that's down at Cooley Law School Stadium, especially because if you look in the outfield, you see these beautiful apartments. I find it so intriguing that when I've gone this summer, and I, especially on the weekend, if it's like a Friday or a Saturday, I go down to check out the Luggies, I'm sitting there in the stands and I'm watching people in the outfield on the grass right next to the apartments. And then the lower deck underneath the apartments, everybody's out there having a brew, eating, just enjoying the game. I mean, what has that new addition to Cooley Law School Stadium done for the overall Lansing Lugnut experience?
It makes it a happening. There is no eyesore. It feels urban. Feels like you are downtown and this stadium is coming into its prime. So when people come out and they have a look around, they say, this doesn't feel like the single A that I was expecting. This feels like a major league feel. Mm-hmm. We had a fan go to West Michigan, then come back to us, and he said, Lansing feels big time. We're the state capital. We've got Michigan State down the road. Cooley Law School Stadium should be just as big time, and it is. That's added hugely.
Yeah, there's a buzz downtown like I've never seen before. And also, I think this Pokemon Go craze is nuts, isn't it?
Okay, so the Clinton Lumber Kings and some other visiting players were starting to make fun of our fans for loving Pokemon Go. Our players spoke up. First-round draft pick John Harris from last year, big, tall, handsome guy out of Missouri State.
Yeah.
He is catching them all. Doc Love, voice of Cooley Law School Stadium, catching them all. The Radisson, everyone's going. Justin Atkinson, our star catcher. Carl Wise, our fourth-round draft pick, strongest guy on the team out of the College of Charleston.
Yeah.
Everybody is in.
Really?
We're all battling at each other's gyms. First base coach Alex Maldonado tried to sidle into somebody's gym. They didn't like that at all.
That is fantastic. So you have the players actually going out downtown Lansing and trying to catch Pikachu.
Yes. Oh, they're getting to see the area.
Wow. That's remarkable stuff. Okay. Well, Jesse, one more time. Remind folks, again, the 7-game homestand. First game, what time?
Tonight, 7.05 p.m., the Lugnuts, the Great Lakes Loons. Go to LansingLugnuts.com for the latest information.
Gotta love that. And again, I absolutely love that idea of the auction as well. Starting at $90 per jersey, right? Wow. Jesse, always a pleasure, my man. Thanks so much.
Al, thank you.
Again, Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, play-by-play voice of the Lansing Lugnuts. Let's hit our first break. I know we've got Mike on the line. Stay there, Mike. I'm going to get to you. Also, Camille as well. Call in 517-355-WKAR. That's 517-355-9527. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin, and we just finished talking with the play-by-play voice of the Lansing Lugnuts, Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, who has been doing a great job for quite some time now, and it continues this season alongside his new color commentator, Mr. Kevin Gill, my former co-worker at Channel 6, WLNS TV 6 here in Lansing, Michigan. They have been doing a great job all season. All right, folks, well, just 5 minutes left. Time flies when you're having fun. Again, call in if you want to get a quick call in and weigh in on anything on your sports noggin, 517-355-9527. Let's go to line one right now. We've got Mike from Saginaw on the line. Mike, welcome to Current Sports.
Welcome, Mr. L. Martin. And I was just listening to you talking about the Olympics. Don't you know in America Day that our sports is a team culture? I mean, individual sports, they okay, but we're not as crazy about those individual sports like track and field and swimming. like the other countries are, because they don't have college sports like we do in this culture. It's, you know, like we got college football, college basketball, and all the other individual sports that we make them into teams and everything. And also, the one thing I got about the NBC coverage, and I let you move on to other callers, they do not interview no foreign athletes. They really don't. All they do is before they build up a meet, they're always looking at the American angle. So I thought I'd just comment on that, and you can, what's your take on it, you take it from there, and you have a good day.
Thank you so much, Mike. And I think he brings up two interesting points there. The first, when it comes to team popularity, Isaac, I think that, you know, he has a point there. When you talk about individual sports like swimming, like track and field, like gymnastics, we don't give it any attention until, you know, 4 years, you know, when the Summer Olympics comes back around. We don't talk about, you know, swimming at all. You know what I mean? We don't talk about track and field really at all, unless it's like on the Olympic stage. And I find that interesting because it is quite different. Usain Bolt is the most popular athlete in Jamaica. This is a dude who made over $32 million as a track and field athlete in Jamaica last year, Isaac. When I heard that number, that blew my mind. You know what I mean? You there is no track and field athlete, I don't know, I don't care who it is, that is going to make anywhere near $32 million in 1 year. That's reserved for our big four, you know, baseball, the NHL, football, and basketball. It's not happening here. So I find it really interesting to look at that contrast. And I think when it comes to NBC's coverage, I mean, I think that's they are catering to what our country cares about. And that's really America. I mean, it's like here on Current Sports. Of course, yeah, we're talking about the Olympics right now. We try to, you know, diversify it. But we know our audience as well. We know that we're here on the campus of Michigan State University, and people want to hear what's going on when it comes to the Spartans on the football field and on the basketball court, more so than anything, to be honest with you. So you got to know your audience. And I think that's any media outlet out there.
It's an old trick of the trade called localization, of course, and that's exactly what NBC is doing. But I think it is a good point as well. I would love to hear some of these underdog stories from other countries that we really do brush on over just because they're not American, because the Olympics, it is a global celebration. But again, that plays into what I was talking about earlier. All these self-professed savants of certain sports who just come out of the woodwork every 4 years for the Olympics. And suddenly, I'm a soccer fan. I'm a hockey fan. If it's Winter Olympics, I love diving. I love synchronized diving.
The bandwagons
all
come out.
All these people.
Yeah.
And it's just, dude, you watch this during the Olympics. Calm down. That's who they're catering to, because unfortunately, that's the blight of the Olympics for me. That's the sore eye.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I'm with you as well, Isaac. And you got to be does it offend you at all? I mean, when people out of nowhere are becoming soccer fans because they're watching it on the Olympic stage, you got to feel so like, man, you don't watch it like me. I mean, what do you do? What, you just hopping on the bandwagon like everybody else?
In some ways, yeah, you feel trampled upon. You feel like you're a soccer fan. You put it in this time, and when the World Cup runs around, and you've got all these people like America. No, calm down, y'all. It's time to actually care about the game. Stop calling them wimps every other 365 day of the other years, and then actually caring when it's the World Cup. Yeah. Nah, you got to go all in or all out.
Unfortunately, I'm one of those fans. I'm one of those casual fans when it comes to the game of soccer, that when the World Cup comes along, I'm all gung-ho about it. But after that, I'm like, all right, I'd rather watch some golf. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm one of those guys. I hear you on that. And I kind of feel the same way when it comes to my Pistons. I was a diehard fan leading up to 2004 when they won the championship, and I saw everybody just hop on the bandwagon when they won the championship. So on tomorrow's show, we will have plenty of Michigan State football talk for you all, okay? You'll get to hear from Coach D when it comes to how his team is progressing throughout training camp. Same time, same place tomorrow. You have been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Be easy, people.